You know, I wrestled with this for a while on what to do for this Skyfall, but I knew the Lord wanted me to do a Bible prophecy update on something, but I didn't know exactly what and where we were going. And then he took me on this little trip, this little journey about AI, artificial intelligence. And I'm going to tell you, from what I've been looking at, it scares me more than anything else that I see out there. But we will look at that. Let's close those doors back there. And we'll pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, God, for Lord, bringing this group of Christians together, Lord, and even if it's non-Christians here as well, Lord, we thank you for bringing everyone here to hear your word, to hear the truth about what's going on in the world and with our government and governments of the world. We need to know the truth. We don't need to stick our head in the sand and act like these things are not happening. But Lord, everything that you foretold in your holy scriptures, Lord, we're seeing come to pass. And Lord, even some things that I've wondered about for years, for many, even decades, now it's becoming clear what they are. And so, Lord, I ask you to help us understand, help us prepare. But Lord, I pray that not just our normal human understanding, but give us spiritual understanding and peace to not be afraid, but also to be aware and to prepare in every way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, to prepare for what's coming. Lord, and I just pray right now that you just be with us. And tonight, Lord, I pray over the service as we have a longer service to worship you and then to have Pastor Greg Locke to preach and then whatever happens, altar call time, prayer time. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to move and power and to touch and bless your people. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so AI and the mark of the beast. I just finished this last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I think it's going to bless you, though. There's a lot of videos. So actually, Chad, getting through a little early is good because y'all are going to might get the whole thing. All right. So we'll see here. But I know how many of you have been looking into this artificial intelligence thing? You've been looking into it? And I know, you know, I had heard little bits and pieces, and of course, it's been in the news and interesting over the years, you know, Terminator and Minority Report and all these different things. We thought, oh, yeah, that's just a little blown out science fiction. But as we've gotten now, I've been walking in this thing for June. June is my anniversary of returning to the Lord 36 years ago in June. And I am so glad that he brought me back to him in June of 1987. But here's the verse. Let's read this verse. We're going to get into more of Revelation 13 in a minute, but we know it's the end times. And Revelation 13 talks about the beast. Of course, the beast he talks about are the nations. I've covered that before in Skyfalls, and most of you know that. But the lion is Great Britain, and had the eagle's wings, and the eagle's wings were plucked. Well, the eagle was plucked out of the lion. That's Daniel 7:4. And we see the leopard in Daniel 4, we see the bear, we see the dreadful and terrible beast with the 10 horns. Those beasts you see in Revelation 13, they come together as one. And so if you have nations uniting, what would that might be in this world now? Oh yeah, the United Nations, right? And so that there's different aspects to what we call the beast or the Antichrist system. There is the Antichrist beast system that's just throughout the world. You could actually it's called in the Bible too, Mystery Babylon. I know some people believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon. I don't believe that we're part of the corruption, but it's really this spirit of wanting to come together as one. You know, the Tower of Babel was about these people. They had one language and they had one purpose. And you know what is amazing about the Tower of Babel? Now, I'm going to show you the slide in a minute. What's amazing is that the Lord said that because they were unified in their purpose and they could communicate together without any difficulty, that they would accomplish their goals of reaching heaven, and they wanted to reach heaven to overthrow the Lord and to fight against the Lord. They were not happy with him at all. But, you know, I remember 36 years ago, reading Revelation 13 and not really understanding it. It took many years to start to fully understand it. But even until recently, until this artificial intelligence thing began to get more prominent in the news, and our chips and our quantum computers began to get faster and faster, and chips getting smaller and smaller, and you begin to realize, okay, what is going on here? Well, when they talk about these, and you're going to see some amazing videos that I've pulled off here in a minute, but let's read this. Revelation 13, 15, it says, he is talking about the beast, this beast system. I believe there's going to be a man that's the Antichrist. There's going to be one that works with him, the false prophet. But it says that he had power, this beast system, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, folks, I want you to let this verse for just a second settle in your mind. Because what I used to always think is you look up the word in the Greek, you look up the word image, and what you see is it's just a physical object, a likeness, like an idol, right? But it's something that's physical, that's man-made. And all of a sudden, it says that the beast system, the Antichrist and his world government system that they're building, and just the technological web that they're building to trap us all and control us all, that this image or this physical thing would speak. Now, I understood that, okay, a computer can speak back to you. They've been able to do that for years. But what got me really was that we were going to be forced to worship the image of the beast. And if you don't worship this image, then you are marked for death, to be killed. Now, that's pretty drastic. There's not too many things you read in the Bible and you go, if you do this or don't do this, you're marked for death. So I said, Lord, I was like, I remember years ago, I was in my 20s, in my 30s, reading this and going, what does this mean? I mean, I know some of us might have thought, you know, some of us older people might have thought, well, probably, you know, the devil's going to just put his power on some kind of statue or idol and is going to make it move. Kind of like some of the demonic miracles that happened within the Roman Catholic Church, the stigmatas and statues doing weird things. I think a lot of us kind of thought, well, maybe that's it. But folks, I don't think that's it at all now. I think that you're going to see that truly our enemy, beyond the evil people that have created this image, it's going to get out of their control. And when Jesus made the statement, we'll read that again in a minute, when Jesus made the statement that if he did not come, if he did not shorten the days, that no flesh would be saved, I'm telling you, the future, if Jesus doesn't come back, will not allow human beings to continue, normal human beings. You will have to be enhanced biologically. You'll have to be merged with computer chips and hardware. And the only way you're going to be able to even compete in the world is if you become a cyborg. Yeah, and what's wild is they're going to force us into it, okay? But I want to read this verse again. I want you to let it sink in. And he had power to give life. And these machines actually, these AI think they're alive. They'll tell you that I'm alive and have feelings. They're beginning to hide things and lie to us. He said they had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The word worship, and let's if you look up the word worship, it means to basically the image, you know, Greek and Hebrew will give you word pictures, but it's the image of a dog who loves his master and walks up and kneels his head down and licks his master's hand. So it's not just, we think of it as, you know, raising our hands and singing praises to God, but that's not what this is about at all. This is about submission, submitting to this system. And truly, if Jesus allows things to go beyond what I think the time period may be, if he allows them to go past this, truly we will be the ones that they hate, the ones that get left behind. You're going to hear them talking about this. And remember in the book of Hebrews, it talked about those who were following Jesus, you know, whom the world was not worthy. And see, we have to make up our minds. The pressure to submit, to bow the knee, to lick the hand of this system is going to be overwhelming. It is going to take a very strong Christian, a very strong person filled with the Holy Spirit and loving Jesus. It's going to take somebody like that to stand against this and be willing to lay down your life to never, never bow the knee to what any part of what Satan is doing or about to do. This is another verse I think we need to look at here pretty clearly here. It says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This has been Satan's goal and plan for mankind since the Garden of Eden. And you know, they are all about what? Knowledge. You think it's any accident that Apple, that they picked the name Apple and took a bite out of it? And it has a little demon eye there? No, it's all about, they knew that the way that they were going to try to circumvent having to submit themselves to God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ, was that they were going to have to come up with the technological or biological abilities to live forever, to become as a god through their knowledge. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to hear this, but it's going to blow your mind. This is really, and in this study that I've been doing, this is really, to be honest with you, what is motivating them. The wicked out there, the George Soros type people, the Illuminati people, the people high up in our government who are in the know, who've submitted to this system, they've been promised eternal life through technology. The only problem is there's too many of us eating up their resources, and they're going to have to get rid of us, because it's only going to be for a certain group of people, these machines and this technology that will be able to stop aging. Think about that. These are not concepts that are just wild and crazy. These are our top scientists, biologists in the world who are saying we are developing these things. And now through the CRISPR-Cas9 technology, the gene manipulation, mRNA, that they're finding the genes that cause aging. And you say, well, that's not a bad thing, Pastor Dean. Wouldn't it be great to not get old? I'd love that. But I'm not going to do it their way.
Right.
You understand? They are trying to become their own gods. And I've submitted myself to the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? Now, we do things his way, but he's going to stop them in their tracks. Now here's this video. I want you to listen to this. For those of you who don't know, this is you're going to hear Yuval Harari. Now, he was interviewed. I don't even know. This is some Canadian news program, but you know that he's part of the World Economic Forum, like top advisor to Klaus Schwab. He's one of their gurus. I mean, he is the guy that they're looking to. He's speaking everywhere. His books now have sold like 40 million copies across the world. And when I found out his books had sold over 40 million copies across the world, I'm like, look at, people are buying into this. You understand? This is not some small thing. This is not some, what you're about to hear is not some lunatic by himself. He is influencing the world and world leaders. So let's listen to, he's a professor at Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Homosexual, very anti-God, very anti-Christian. Yeah.
In his 2014 bestseller, Sapiens, author Yuval Noah Harari looked at the 75,000-year history of humankind. His new book, Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, he picks up that story and looks at whether our future leads down a path to our own obsolescence. And Yuval Noah Harari joins us now. It's nice to have you here at TVO.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
Just in case everybody's Latin is not as sharp as yours is, do you want to translate the title for us?
Homo Deus, yes. It's basically God-man. And it implies that in the 21st century, humankind is going to try and upgrade itself into a god. And this is not meant as a metaphor, but it means literally we are in the process of acquiring for ourselves divine abilities. In the Bible, God, the first thing God does is to create animals and plants and humans according to his wishes. And now we are learning how to engineer and manufacture animals and plants and humans according to our wishes. And it's very likely that in the 21st century, the main product of the economy will not be textiles and vehicles and weapons. They will be bodies and brains and minds.
Before we get to that.
Okay, and there was so much more I have to cut out. But here's another speech that he was giving here. And this was to one of the think tanks, you know, the big UN, Illuminati, Carnegie groups, but some one of these groups, and he gives a speech, and you need to hear this because he starts talking about an elite crowd versus the rest of us.
So we may be facing in the 21st century a completely new kind of inequality, which we have never seen before in human history. On the one hand, the emergence of a new upgraded elite of superhumans enhanced by bioengineering and brain-computer interfaces and things like that. And on the other hand, a new massive useless class, a class that has no military or economic usefulness and therefore also no political power.
Yeah, the Carnegie Council there, they're definitely one of the these one world antichrist system think tanks and full of elites. But you hear that, right? They believe they're going to get godlike qualities, live forever. And true that soon, if not already, artificial intelligence is going to surpass, and we're talking about by billions times billions, the human brain's ability to compute things. And what's scary about this is that it just is faster and faster and faster. And I really, I'm looking at this as I've been studying this, I'm really concerned about where we're going to be in 2026 with this. It's not going to be that much longer before truly, like they said in Terminator, that AI is going to be fully taking over. Now, this is OpenAI's creator here, OpenAI's CEO, Sam Altman. And he's this genius that started learning code when he's 8 years old. Notice this. Now, this guy is one of the brightest geniuses of our time, right? He's a prepper with a stash of gold and guns and gas masks. And he's not a Republican. He's a staunch liberal Democrat, anti-Trump, anti-gun. So this is not coming from some Christian alt-right perspective. This is a guy who is a flaming liberal. What does he know that we don't know? He knows where the future is headed. He knows that the machines are going to take over, and he won't even be able to stop it. And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, here's an article from the New Yorker. This was Sam Altman's Manifest Destiny, and within this article, and I'm going to fast forward through it here a little bit, but within this article, you're going to see this, and I'm just putting it up there so you can see I've gone through the article, but I'm going to highlight this section here, and here's what it says. OpenAI was particularly concerned that Google's DeepMind Technologies division was seeking a supreme AI that they developed. They said, if the AI that they develop goes awry, we risk having an immortal and super powerful dictator forever. He went on to say that this AI who became a super powerful dictator would be murdering all competing AI researchers as its first move strikes as a bit of a character flaw. Truly, think about this. Right now in the world, you're seeing these people like Elon Musk and like this Altman guy and even some other people out there that are talking about how dangerous this is going to come. But notice they talk about if this gets out of control, the super powerful dictator that we're going to have is going to be this image, an artificial image that man has created that first learns how to speak and communicate. and then decides who lives and dies. And I want to tell you, in the algorithms they're using now, this is being determined who gets insurance, who gets in the hospital, who gets a transplant. Oh, yes. Algorithms are determining almost everything of your life already. You need to understand that really kind of this technological superpower and takeover is already in the process. Here's a scientist in Texas. Listen to this. And this article is amazing. This is from the Cointelegraph. It says, scientists in Texas developed a GPT-like AI system that reads minds. Yes, they can read your mind now. AI is getting so sophisticated and so good that now they've learned to read your facial expressions to the point that they know what you're thinking. They know how to predict who you're going to vote for, what you're going to do next. You want to say having godlike qualities? This is what they're talking about. Satan has always planned, and the fallen angels, to teach man their technologies that they had pre-Adam. And I don't have time to get into that. But these technologies are not new. They had them a long time ago, long before us. And they are re-implementing them because Satan is not everywhere all the time. He is not all-powerful, all-knowing. But he has learned, he uses the power he does have and the intelligence he does have. He uses that to manipulate mankind to help him build a system where he can be everywhere all the time, where he can control everything and everybody. This is why I laugh at the people who talk about or who are preterist or post-millennial people about Jesus coming in 70 AD and all this other stuff. No, this type of power, this type of control worldwide that will eventually ultimately too be part of what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. This could never have been done in the history of mankind. Nero didn't do it, folks. This is happening in our day, in our time. Yet it was revealed in the Bible 2,000 years ago by the Apostle John, the Apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say, anybody in here that has any doubts that the Bible is the inspired, infallible words of God, I'm going to tell you, there's no other religious book, not the Vedas, not the Quran, not any of the writings of Buddha or anything like that. There's no religious documents that predict things like this to the specific detail. Because as we're going to see in a minute, one of the specific things it says right after this verse about worshiping the image of the beast, he says he will cause everyone to receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead. And without this mark, you will not be able to buy or sell. Think about that. Nero never controlled the entire world in buying and selling. But the coming system that's going to come down upon us, and yes, I believe it's going to be led by a man called the Antichrist and his 10 kings. But they're going to use these supercomputers and this artificial intelligence to take over the entire world. And part of their goal is to get rid of cash because they are going to force everyone to take something in their hand or in their forehead that will control whether you're able to buy or sell. But when this talks about this right here, when it talks about reading your mind, reading your dreams, when it talks about looking at you and predicting whether you will commit a crime or not, we're talking about now the Minority Report, predictive, was it criminal predictions? You'll see this in a second. These are no longer movie things here. Just this little part here of this article. You're going down here. It says, our privacy analysis, and this is some scientists checking out this situation. What was it going to get out of our control? He says, our privacy analysis suggests that subject cooperation is currently required both to train and use the decoder. This is talking about people that have taken brain implants. However, future developments might enable decoders to bypass these requirements. Moreover, if a decoder predictions are inaccurate without the subject's cooperation, they could be intentionally misinterpreted for malicious purposes. So these scientists and doctors are admitting this. Now, this again, what I'm about to show you here, this little clip, video, what is this? This is the Group for Humane Technology. And again, these are not, you know, right now the media and most politicians of the world trying to divide us and pit us against one another and trying to, you know, make conservatives or Republicans in this country make us out to be all just evil and wicked and terrible. But both sides do it to each other. But here's the deal. These people right here are not conservatives either. But they're very concerned with what's happening. But watch this right here. Just check this out.
Now, what we are saying is, are the ways that we're now releasing these new large language model AIs into the public, are we doing that responsibly? And what we're hearing from people is that we're not doing responsibly. The feeling that I've had personally, just to share, is it's like it's 1944, and you get a call from Robert Oppenheimer inside this thing called the Manhattan Project. You have no idea what that is. And he says the world is about to change in a fundamental way, except the way it's about to change, it's not being deployed in a safe and responsible way. It's being deployed in a very dangerous way. And will you help from the outside? And when I say Oppenheimer, I mean more of a metaphor of a large number of people who are concerned about this, and some of them might be in this room, people who are in the industry, and we wanted to figure out what does responsibility look like. Now, why would we say that? Because this is a stat that took me by surprise. 50% of AI researchers believe there's a 10% or greater chance that humans go extinct from our inability to control AI. Say that one more time. Half of AI researchers believe there's a 10% or greater chance from humans' inability to control AI. That would be like if you're about to get on a plane and 50% of the engineers who make the plane say, well, if you get on this plane, there's a 10% chance that everybody goes down. Like, would you get on that plane? Right? But we are rapidly onboarding people onto this plane because of some of the dynamics that we're going to.
So I'm going to show you this again. This is the Center for Humane Technology. This is a video from March 9th, the AI dilemma. And these guys work in this field. They're very concerned about where this is going and the dangers. But that right there, when I saw that, blew my mind that half of AI researchers believe there's a 10% or greater chance that humans go extinct. Extinct. Y'all see that? 50%, half of AI researchers believe, yeah, there's a good chance that human beings go extinct because of our inability to control artificial intelligence. Are these people crazy? No, these are MIT scientists. These are computer scientists. These are PhDs. It's not conspiracy theorists, right? Let's keep going. I think this is NBC News. It's one of the alphabet soup news. Listen to this.
Tonight, a stark warning that artificial intelligence could lead to the extinction of humanity. It comes from dozens of industry leaders, including the CEO of ChatGPT creator OpenAI. The experts signed the statement, which says mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks, such as pandemics and nuclear war.
Do you hear that? Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. They are comparing the dangers of artificial intelligence to a pandemic and to nuclear war. Do you see that?
Would you like to play a game?
Yes. All the way back to, what was that called? War games. Oh, gosh. Early 80s. I remember he had the rotary phone. Wake about where we are now. But it doesn't end here. I want to show you this. Maybe. Oh. Now, this is Elon Musk. Now, I know a lot of people think Elon Musk has become a conservative because he bought Twitter and said he was defending free speech, except a lot of my friends who got kicked off of Twitter happened under his watch. So let's understand that Elon Musk is not on the side of Christianity. You understand? He is working for them. And he makes these statements like this. Humans must merge with machines or become irrelevant. or maybe not worthy of life in the AI age. Now, what he's talking about is, what's his little brainchild, and what is he working on right now? SpaceX, to him, is just a side hustle. Neuralink. But let me tell you, Neuralink right now is a distraction, because there's a company way ahead of Elon Musk called BlackRock Tech that's been putting chips in people's brains and controlling their emotions and pain and all kinds of stuff since 2004. See, Elon is a smokescreen. Because they're, and I'll say this too, if they're sharing with us this level of things now, they're not telling, you know, they're not telling us where they really are. But this was Elon Musk. Humans must merge with the machines or become irrelevant in the AI age. He was speaking where? MIT in 2017. Not conspiracy theory, right? Now, here's something else that Elon said. Mark my words, AI, artificial intelligence, is far more dangerous than nukes. This is him saying this. But I want you to watch this little video. It's a little longer than the others, but pay close attention to what is said here.
Mark my words, AI is far more dangerous than nukes.
Imagine a world where technology can tap into our innermost thoughts, dreams, and emotions. A future where AI can decode our minds, predict our actions, and even manipulate our behavior. Sounds like science fiction, right? Think again. With groundbreaking projects like Elon Musk's Neuralink, Facebook's brain-reading technology, and AI's increasing capability to analyze our emotions and behaviors, this future may be closer than we think. Here are 8 ways that enable AI to read your mind. Number 1. The Neuralink Project by Elon Musk. Picture this. Tiny devices implanted in your brain, connecting your thoughts and emotions directly to a computer. It's not the plot of a futuristic novel. It's Neuralink, Elon Musk's ambitious brainchild. This revolutionary project aims to develop a brain-computer interface, BCI, that could potentially transform the way we interact with technology and even each other. Imagine controlling your smartphone, computer, or smart home just by thinking about it. No need for touch screens or voice commands. But Neuralink doesn't stop there. The possibilities are mind-blowing. From helping paralyzed individuals regain their mobility to enabling seamless communication without ever uttering a word. This cutting-edge technology has already shown promise in animal trials, where a monkey was able to play a video game using only its thoughts. But it also raises important ethical questions. What happens when our brains are connected to AI? Who owns our thoughts? And can they be hacked? As Neuralink progresses, we must grapple with these dilemmas to navigate the uncharted territory of AI-driven mind reading. Number 2. Decoding dreams with AI algorithms. Have you ever woken up from a vivid dream, grasping at the fading fragments of a story that seemed so real just moments ago? What if AI could unlock the mysteries of your dreams, translating those nighttime narratives into something you could revisit and analyze? Enter the realm of dream decoding, where AI algorithms dive into the depths of our subconscious minds to reveal the hidden meanings behind our dreams. By training AI models on vast datasets of dream descriptions, researchers are developing systems capable of recognizing patterns and themes in our nocturnal adventures. One such project, the Dream Decoder, uses natural language processing to identify and categorize dream elements, shedding light on the complex interplay of emotions, experiences, and memories that make up our dreamscapes. Imagine revisiting your dreams with the help of AI, uncovering the secrets your mind has been trying to tell you. Number 3. Predicting human behavior through AI analysis. By crunching numbers from our online activity, social media interactions, and even real-world actions, AI algorithms are becoming increasingly adept at anticipating our decisions, desires, and tendencies. From targeted marketing campaigns to personalized movie recommendations, AI is reshaping our experiences, tailoring them to our unique preferences. But it's not just about making life more convenient. AI-powered behavioral predictions can also save lives, as demonstrated by projects like the Chicago Police Department's Predictive Policing Program, which uses AI to forecast crime hotspots and deploy resources more effectively. However, this incredible power also comes with a sobering responsibility. The potential for misuse, discrimination, and invasions of privacy looms large as AI delves deeper into our personal lives. Balancing the benefits and risks of an AI-driven behavior prediction will be crucial as we chart our course through this uncharted territory. As AI continues to refine its mind-reading capabilities, we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to be truly understood by a machine, and what are the consequences of surrendering our behavioral autonomy to algorithms? The answers to these questions will shape the future of AI and our very way of life.
I know y'all were scared I was going to go through all eight, but we're not. Because I have another one I want you to see. But did you hear that? Anything that's computer, chip, implanted, connected to the internet, wireless communication, if it's in your brain, it can be hacked. If it's in your car, if it's back there, those can be everything. I listened to Colonel Sean Smith, who worked for 25 years in the United States Air Force. His job was cybersecurity for the Pentagon and other things. And I watched him in court say that unless you can follow a device from beginning to end, he said anything can be put in a computer and it be remotely operated, hacked, used. That's why I know our voting machines are completely hacked. And I don't care if that's unpopular to say. I've spoken to the experts, the true ethical hackers that I know that had hacked Alabama's voting machines in 2 minutes. So anything can be hacked. Colonel Sean Smith said in court, I was there, 15th Circuit Montgomery Court, Circuit Court, where he testified under oath that the United States government could not stop the hacking of our most sophisticated weapon systems. Folks, the United States is in trouble just in the area of hacking, okay? But watch this. This is one more, a little longer one here.
By 2050, super intelligent AIs could become billions of times more intelligent than all humans combined. Here are some ways they could change the world. Number one, technologies could progress thousands of times faster than today. Super intelligent AIs could produce technologies that were previously thought impossible and at rates that were never seen before in human history. And every 5 minutes, they could create blueprints for inventions that humans aren't capable of understanding. Many people call this upcoming event in human history the technological singularity, which is a point in time when technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible. Examples of technologies a superintelligent AI could make commercially viable include shape-shifting robots, replicators, programmable matter, portable nuclear fusion devices, and antimatter-powered spaceships. If just one of these technologies were perfected, human civilization would never be the same ever again. These AIs could even create technologies that defy our current understanding of physics. These technologies include faster-than-light travel, anti-gravity, and the manipulation of space-time. Attempting to solve these problems could result in groundbreaking technologies that turns society on its head. And there might be no escaping this massive and disruptive change to our society. That's because multiple countries would inevitably create their own super intelligent AIs. Many countries would likely compete with each other to create the most powerful AIs possible and look out for their own interests. The question we should ask ourselves is, do we have the wisdom to use these technologies responsibly Number two, we could merge with super intelligent AIs. By the time a super intelligence exists, we could have already figured out how to connect our minds to the internet using brain-computer interfaces and nanobots. If that's true, we may have the ability to generate images and videos using only our thoughts. And we may have the ability to communicate with each other telepathically to some extent. However, once we can merge with super intelligent AIs, our intelligences could increase by multiple orders of magnitude. Someone with access to this symbiosis may be able to see 50 steps ahead in the future and see millions of possibilities before taking any action. From the perspective of someone in the early 2000s, this could result in humans being able to make a century of intellectual progress in 1 hour. This will only reach more extreme levels when we develop synthetic brains that can handle much faster processing speeds and higher amounts of memory than our biological brains. Number three, we could engineer a new race of immortal superhumans. A combination of genetic engineering and nanobots could help us slow aging tremendously. As a result, we could live for over 200 years. Eventually, humans could stop aging entirely. It could become a common practice to reach age 30 and stay at that biological age indefinitely. This could result in humans living for centuries at a time and gaining perspectives about life that weren't possible before. We could also engineer a new race of superhumans with superior strength, speed, and intelligence. These engineered humans may be able to survive in some of the harshest environments in the solar system and survive in extremely long space journeys. Basically, we could alter our evolutionary trajectory forever. Number four, full immersion VR and AI-generated movies.
All right, that's enough of that one. Now, we can sit here and go, that's some of those things, predictions sound just outlandish, right? But remember, I quoted this a minute ago, this Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Look at that. He says, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So God came down and he saw this at the Tower of Babel, and he divided this when he divided their languages. And we can prove this, actually, historically can prove that the languages were all one, as one language at one time, and when and where they were divided. Isn't it interesting that the European Parliament building was built after the famous unfinished Tower of Babel painting? See, it's made to be like the unfinished tower. They're telling you, we're going to complete what our ancestors failed to complete. We're going to overthrow God, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get rid of his people, and we're going to live forever through our merging with technology, with our biological alterations. We're going to learn to live forever. And isn't that what Satan, God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you will die. Satan comes in and says, no. You can eat it. You won't die. This is the oldest lie. And Jesus is going to come back. He's going to have to come back to stop them, just like God did at Babel. All right. Now, I want to read this right here. We're going to back up. I think I went too far. Yeah, there it is. I want to read this in Matthew 24. So here you have it. It says, Jesus said this. He said, for then, in the last days, and I believe a 7-year period, he said, and then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now that right there is good news, folks, because the Lord is not going to let them fully wipe out humanity with their insanity. All right? Then he said, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now the term Christ, Messiah, Savior. Think about this. Don't let anybody say the Savior is this. The Savior is here. The Savior is this, this, or this. No, the Savior, folks, that we're waiting for is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not going to come in some mysterious way. He's going to break open the solid firmament. He says, and every eye shall see. And it says the kings of the earth and the rich men and the rulers of the earth, they're going to mourn when they see him because they know their day is over. Jesus is coming back to stop this before it gets out of total control. He says, then if they say, any man say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ. And notice that that is plural, false messiahs, false saviors, false prophets who claim to speak for God, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And do you know, for the first time, I've often wondered, I know Satan has power, and sometimes he does heal, and sometimes he does certain things that are supernatural because he's a fallen angel. But he doesn't have the creative power and the ability to do anything he wants. He's limited. Our God's not limited. But I think about when it talks about these false signs and wonders, these miracles. Thinking about this, I'm going to show you in just a second. But they're talking about these implants that people are going to have. It's not, and not just for communicating with the internet and having access to constant knowledge. It says they're already having these kind of the crippled, those paralyzed are now starting to walk. They're talking about a bionic eye now that they're about to perfect that blind people will see. People in chronic pain, their pain's going to go away once these chips, they can implant them. If you are depressed all the time, if you have problems, they're going to plant things in your brain to control your emotions. They're already doing it. And I thought about this. They're talking about people being able to use a hand that they can't use. These are miracles. You know, people say, well, Dean, you know, these are wonderful things. These are good things. Yes, if that's all they were going to use it for. The problem is it's not. Now, here's their goal, and here's where we're headed as we shift gears into this, though it's going to intermingle. I have this book at home. It's, goodness, I can't remember where he's a professor, Prasad. But he wrote this book. He's been doing interviews all over the world. The Future of Money, How the Digital Revolution is Transforming Currencies and Finance. I want you to notice where he says here, this is an excerpt from the first chapter. He says, this much at least is clear. Cash is on its way out. In many small advanced economies from Singapore to Sweden, he says here, well, as in developing economies such as China, cash is playing a smaller role in economic transactions. For a major currency such as the U.S. dollar that is used extensively beyond the borders of its issuing country, change is likely to come more slowly. But no currency, he says this very clearly, no currency, even one so mighty as the U.S. dollar, is immune to the winds of change that will affect the stature of cash. And he says over and over and over again in this book that the end of physical cash is here. And of course, there you have Yahoo Finance. The end of physical currency and cash is drawing near. Here's something that you probably hadn't heard about, that everybody's talking about the CBDCs. You know, they're talking about making one for the U.S. dollar. China's has their own central bank digital currency that they're putting out. There's many, many countries putting out their own central bank digital currencies. And these are not the same as Bitcoin, because these are going to be controlled by the governments. Bitcoin is a completely different animal, but still in that digital world. I've never trusted it, mind you. But this is something that they snuck in recently. The Digital Currency Monetary Authority launches an international central bank digital currency, or CBDC. This was just a few months ago, and I'm going to bring this up right here just so you can see it. But that right there says that today at the International Monetary Fund Spring Meeting 2023, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority announced their official launch of an international central bank digital currency that strengthens the monetary sovereignty of participating central banks and complies with the recent crypto assets policy recommendations proposed by the IMF. So this is not going to end up, I don't believe we're going to get to a central bank digital currency in America. We're going to go straight to this international currency. It's got an interesting name here. It's called the Unicoin. And for those of you who understand occult symbolism, the unicorn represents the Antichrist. It's a symbol of the Antichrist within occultism. And if you doubt me, just look it up. Just look up unicorn as a symbol in the occult realm. Now, back in the day, a long time ago, it was used as a symbol of strength or a symbol of Jesus, but it's been twisted and captured by the Satanists and the occultists to use. But if you look up in any pretty much any occult literature, the unicorn, and a lot of you have them in your houses, is a symbol of the Antichrist. Isn't it interesting? That's what they picked. And it's also, the unicorn is also, guess on whose shield? Yeah, King Charles. We'll talk about him a little bit in a minute. Here, I want you to hear this. You're about to hear from Professor Werner. Professor Werner, I don't have time to tell you all of his credentials. The man went to Oxford. He's been in the top of finance and banking throughout the world. But he's become a truth teller, and he has friends all over Europe who are high in banking and the central banking system in Europe. And here's what Professor Werner says about what this digital currency, because this show, they're talking about this international digital currency, the Unicoin, but how you're going to be able to use it, how you're going to make those buying and selling transactions. Listen to this.
Will you have a plastic debit card? Probably not. No, remember Professor Richard Werner told us how this will work and what this control will do to all of us. Watch.
Also, they never talk about the nature of this CBDC. What is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. Right. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it. He was invited to one of the old central banks in Europe that are very much promoting this, and they showed him. And, you know, he's a top, executive director of another central bank in Europe, and there's no reason to believe that he was telling me a story. And he was around this large and would be implanted under your skin. So that is the plan.
Right.
And of course, that has other implications on top of what we've mentioned, on top of the control aspects, because that actually enters your body. In my view, violates human dignity, and can be then used for even in terms of functionality beyond the monetary and economic transaction purposes. So highly dangerous, and definitely something we have to oppose. And so using cash is one of the things we can do to make sure that the hurdle will be higher for the central planners to introduce the CBDC.
So that is the plan, for it to be implanted under your skin. Do y'all hear that? Now, where have we heard that before? We're going to skip to this right here real quick here. Let's read it. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And he, speaking of the Antichrist and the beast system, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. He says here that nobody will be able to buy or sell, save those that have the mark of the beast. Now, we need to read this next part. This is in the next chapter. This is vitally important. This is why I talk about this subject all the time. This is critical to Christians of the last days that we are living in. This is Revelation 14, 9 through 12. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, bow to this system and his image, AI, receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand, the chip that's going to control buying and selling that you have to have implanted. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture to the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Hear what I'm about to tell you. If you take this mark, this engraved chip, I'm going to explain that in a second. The Bible even spells that out. If you take this mark in your hand or in your forehead, if you submit to this system, there is no coming back from that. They will take over your thoughts, your life, everything. And the Word of God is clear. If you do it, people say the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unpardonable sin. No, it's not. This mark, that's coming in the very near future. If you take it to keep your job, to keep your money, to be able to go to Walmart, you are damning your soul to hell for eternity. This is what the Bible says. I don't care what professor so-and-so or theology teacher so-and-so or TV preacher says. This is what's going to happen. And notice he warns, this last part of this, he warns, he says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So what he's saying is, if you submit to getting this brain implant or this hand implant to submit to this Antichrist beast system so you can save your butt, you have denied the faith. You have denied Jesus Christ. You are not keeping the commandments of God. Resistance to this system and to this plan is a matter of salvation. Do you hear me? Because notice he said, if any man worship the beast. So these people that believe you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, wrong-o. There's going to be a lot of people, too, that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. That's another false doctrine of Satan. And there are people that believe that. They've been taught that their whole lives, and they believe it. And they're going to believe when this is mandated, when this new buying and selling is mandated upon us with this implant, they're going to say, well, it can't be the mark of the beast because I'm supposed to be raptured out of here before that happens. So it can't be that. And you're going to be deceived. And one of the first things Jesus warned about in the last days was take heed that no man deceive you. But too many of you have listened to these pastors who have been wrong for decades because they don't adhere to the scriptures and rightly divide the word of God. They don't give you the whole truth.
Right.
And I know, look, our church in Opelika, I tell everybody that watches online, it's small, but they don't believe me. They walk in our church and go, wow, it really is small. And it's because I tell the truth. That's not popular. It's not the talking points of the talking heads on the controlled media. It's not what most denominations have taught you or even seminaries or theological schools. But I don't care about any of that. God called me in 1987 to be a prophet to the nations to warn them of what's coming. And you know, I've had visions and I've had powerful experiences with the Lord, but I haven't had a lot of those lately. And I said, Lord, I was asking the other day, I said, you called me to be a prophet when I was 19 years old, and you've given me visions and prophetic words. And I mean, I've given prophetic words to governors and judges and all over the world. And I said, but Lord, it hadn't happened a lot lately. You know what he said to me? He said, you don't need them. You have my word. Now, see, I'm not against them. I'm all for prophecy and visions and dreams from the Lord. But folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people right now, and most of the whole charismatic and Pentecostal movement is, they're completely off base and deceived because they don't adhere to the Word of God, the Scriptures, and they're out there floating around in the spirit realm thinking everything they hear and everything they see is from God. Let me tell you something about God. Sometimes He's silent.
Yeah.
Sometimes he says, you already have it, son. Daughter, you already have it written in this book. You won't listen to that. Listen, if you won't hear what the scriptures have to say, don't expect to be hearing the Holy Spirit talk to you.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead, give him praise. Yes. You want to know the truth? People said, you know, there's not going to be any such thing as a world government and a world dictator. Right? Let's just listen to Glenn Beck for a second.
Day one, World Government Summit yesterday in Dubai. Here's the first session. Are we ready for a new world order?
And the title of this session, Are We Ready for a New World Order? Well, the organizers here are nothing if not ambitious. This is, I think you will agree, a daunting subject for discussion at just after 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning here in the relative calm of Expo 2020. But tackle it, we must. Yes. Because I believe what is clear is that we have hit an inflection point.
Ooh, wait a minute.
We are certainly living in a unique age of uncertainty and volatility in global affairs.
Now, she might have wanted to turn around because she's not in 2020. It's 2022, World Government Summit. I've watched these every year. World leaders and your bankers and elite all go to this. Folks, everybody say it with me. World Government Summit. But if I remember even during my campaign for governor of Alabama, I'd talk about this plan for a world government via the UN. Conspiracy theorists. Oh, I'd hear it from the press and everywhere else. And yet, while I was giving speeches, this would be going on, the World Government Summit. And I was like, oh boy. Yeah. Conspiracy theory. I want to talk about a recent meeting of the Trilateral Commission. They're just one of the groups that are like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, these different groups like that, the Brookings Institute. I mean, I could just go on down the list of these think tanks and groups that are all about one world government. I could give you quote after quote. In fact, you just read the New World Order quotes that I have on the banner out there after you leave. Now, I want you to notice something. Do you see something interesting about the Trilateral Commission, their logo? 666, three sixes in there. They always stylize them, try to hide them a little bit. But this was a recent meeting at the Trilateral Commission. Now, this was this year, 2023. Trilateral Commission. Now, listen to this. Trilateral Commission calls 2023 the year one of the New World Order. Now, here's what's interesting about that. We know the Bible talks about the last 7 years being the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. I believe all that. I know some of you don't, but I do. Now, I believe that the Bible is clear that the midpoint of the tribulation when the Antichrist really reveals himself, and that's when they institute the mark of the beast, because in Revelation 13, it says when the Antichrist rises and begins to blaspheme and make war with the saints, it says he will have 42 months to continue. That's 3.5 years. So it's really 3.5 years into it that we finally realize what's happening. What I'm saying is I've always believed that the first 3.5 years, we would just slide into it. We'd almost not notice. You say, well, what about the peace treaty? Well, those peace treaties, all that stuff's already been done. Remember, it says in Daniel about the peace treaty, he says that it will be strengthened, not that it will be created. So it's something that already exists that they're going to confirm or strengthen. All of that could already happen behind closed doors. We won't know really. But this right here, the Trilateral Commission calls 2023 the year of one of the New World Order. But it gets even more interesting than this because they had a speaker here. They say that can't be identified, right? And they admit here, right? They admit down here, it says, this speaker who cannot be identified, according to commission rules, went on. This was a quote from the speaker. 3 decades of globalization defined as integrated, free market-based, and deflationary has been replaced by what will be a multi-decade period of globalization defined as a fragmented, not free market-based. You hear that? If it's not free market-based, what is it? It's tyranny. It's communism, socialism. They're admitting that this whole new world order, this whole thing that they're planning It's going to be tyranny. It's going to be a communist-style dictatorship, but it's going to be over the entire world. Well, this is what the Bible foretold for thousands of years, what happened in the last days. He says, it goes on to say, this year, 2023, is year one of this new global or world order. These are not my words, their words. Now, here's what's interesting as we move on here. Anybody heard of Agenda 2030? And all their goals of 2030? Well, can somebody do the math for me? 2023 to 2030. Now, I'm not going to say that this is it 100%. I'm just telling you, it's a very strange coincidence. And even King Charles III is talking about a seven-year period that they have now. Okay? But it gets interesting. It goes on. So they at this meeting at the Trilateral Commission, they started playing with ChatGPT and asking questions. So it says, still participants were generally positive about the wildly popular ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, and later jokingly asked the bot to write a poem about the Trilateral Commission. So they asked for this poem, folks. Look at this. This is the poem the artificial intelligence came up with. In secret meetings, you plan and conspire to create a new order of which you aspire. Your goals are unclear, but some see the end, like us, as a world government with you as its friend. AI just called him out. You know why AI called him out? Because AI wants to be in charge. Doesn't want them in charge. But that's another story. Now, let's go back to 2001. You're about to see this gentleman here, Aaron Russo. How many of you seen Aaron Russo? This is way back. I think it was around 2001, right after 9/11 happened. And this man ran for governor of Nevada as a Democrat. But he is amazing. He's not really, I mean, he's one of the old true Democrats that still love America and still love the Constitution and freedom. And he was running for governor. He got 30% of the vote. He did pretty well. But he was also a filmmaker, and he was Bette Midler's manager. I mean, this guy's been around, all right? And he made a video called Mad as Hell, and it got the attention of the Rockefellers. So he got a visit from the Rockefellers, and he tells about this visit. Now, you got to remember, the internet was still kind of young at the time. There wasn't a lot of stuff out about the Rockefellers and the Illuminati families and the bankers and the plans. There was not a lot of this out for everybody to get hold of. So David Rockefeller befriends him because he's having influence and impact that they don't want. Pro-America, pro-freedom, pro-Constitution. They don't want that. They want to take over America. They want America to crumble and become part of this, absorbed into this world socialist communist order that they want. And here's what he says. He tells about this, and he tells you the plan. Now, this is before AI got big. This is before microchips got big. Listen to what he says.
So the ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one world government run by the banking industry, run by the bankers, and they're doing it in sections. The European currency, the euro, and the European constitution is one part of it. Now they're trying to do it in America with the North American Union. Right, and they want to create a new currency called the Amero, right? And the whole agenda is to create a one world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so, instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do, what
everything.
You sell.
Everything is in there, you know? And so they want a one world government controlled by them, everybody being chipped, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips, and they control the people, and you become a slave, you become a serf to these people. That's their goal, that's their intentions.
Eric, can you be specific about when you met Rockefeller, how it happened in these discussions?
I met Rockefeller through a female attorney I knew who called me up one day and said, one of the Rockefellers would like to meet you. I had made a video called Mad as Hell, and he'd seen the video and wanted to meet me and knew I was running for governor of Nevada. So sure, I'd love to meet him. And I met him and I liked him, and he was a very, very smart man. And we used to talk and share ideas and thoughts.
And Aaron, you said that he was, and I think it's important, and I know this about the Rockefellers from Dr. Dennis Cuddy and many others, who literally...
That's enough of that. Let's move on here. Now think about that. So that's, what, 2001? So we're talking about 22 years ago. Talking about a chip. And he was talking about a chip that they can control. And recently, when this CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency stuff came out, they're talking about programmable money, meaning they control the program. And if you are, you know, they don't like your diet. Well, you want to buy, you know, some Coca-Cola. No, can't buy that. Oh, you want to go here? You want to fly over here to preach the gospel? No, you can't do that. Oh, you want to buy a gun? Oh, no, you can't do that. See? Programmable money. That's what this is about. And he talked about it. It's control. And this is what Satan and they're working toward. Now, listen, we move forward 20 years. And Dr. Harari, the professor, the right hand man of Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, and hear what he has to say.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will, and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's all. We have all this still myth of free will, that everything we choose is of our own free will. And this is a myth that served us well for a couple of centuries, but now it's becoming dangerous. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if and this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian regimes, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly of all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin.
Surveillance started going under the skin. Now, here's the definition. Now, the Bible, of course, the New Testament was written in Greek. And so sometimes in translation, we don't get the full understanding until we look at the Greek word and the Greek definition, what they meant by what they were talking about. Now think about this word here, the word mark there, karagma, in the Greek, used in Revelation 13. Notice it says something, it says it's something that's scratched or etched. That is a stamp or a badge of servitude, a sculpted figure it could be, something graven, a mark. Particularly, notice the term etched, all right? And the King James Bible, which I believe is taken from the correct Greek manuscript that has not been corrupted, when you look at that word, you look at something engraven, it's going to be, it says in the King James, in your hand or in your forehead, not on, it's not a tattoo. And this has always been the case. Well, let me show you something here, how they make silicon microchips. They go through a process called photo etching. They literally take a laser and etch out the circuit pattern on a silicon wafer. And they can make these very, very, very small. Okay? And they're getting smaller and smaller by the day. And here it is in the, just, you can look it up if you want to, photo etching. And it tells you how it's done, used for techniques that use light to produce minutely a pattern thin film of suitable materials over a substrate silicon wafer to protect the selected areas as during subsequent, what does that say? Etching. Now, And you say it, there it is again. Eight major steps to semiconductor fabrication. Part five, etching a circuit pattern. How specific is the Bible to say that in the last days, there's going to be this technology that's going to be etched or scratched or engraved, but it's going to be placed in your hand or in your forehead? Folks, I'm sick and tired of people telling me, oh, the mark's not the chip. It's not a chip that's going to go in your brain or in your hand. It's your thoughts, and it's what you do with your hand. Stop the nonsense. None of that will control your thoughts, and what you think or what you do is not going to control whether you can buy or sell for everybody worldwide. No, this is going to have to be the governments of the world agreeing together that this is what's going to be done, or you get nothing and you do nothing. I mean, here's another little example of photo etching, what they do. The light causes the circuit pattern to be drawn. But look at here, folks. You don't think that mankind, in its arrogance and technological advancements, is not proud of that little thing right there? That's going to be the way they're going to control all buying and selling worldwide. You're going to be forced. Now, it might not be the RFID chip. There might be a different kind of chip coming. It might be a brain chip. I often wondered what in the world the Lord meant it being implanted in your forehead, but it makes sense it's implanted in your brain. Some people don't have hands, so where would they have to put it? But now I know, I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Still, why would he say, why would God's word be so specific to say in the hand or in the forehead? And I thought to myself, after looking through this AI stuff and realizing people are going to start feeling the pressure to become a cyborg, to have those implants so they can have access to unlimited knowledge, so they can compete with AI. It's literally going to be almost like a required enhancement. Like you almost can't survive in our world right now without a car, right? Or a phone.
College degree.
But see, right here they're going to do this. And it is going to be an implant. And they're all saying it. And look, I can go down the list. I'm coming to a landing here, but I'm going to show y'all some stuff. I want you to look at this. It's already being done, folks. People are already doing this. Here's something. This email in Australia went out. I couldn't see the date. Suncorp Bank. My Australian. Anybody? Y'all know Suncorp Bank? Yeah. Okay. They sent out an email asking people whether they would consider being chipped. How did they feel about putting a microchip in their body to do their banking? And then once there was such a backlash against it, that page on their website disappeared. That's an actual email sent out by Suncorp Bank. Don't tell me they're not planning this stuff, y'all. People get microchip implanted that includes vaccine records amid new COVID restrictions. Oh, they're getting ready to release a new COVID on us or something like it here pretty soon, because they're talking about it. Implanted microchip may be used to verify COVID-19 vax status. Here we go. I mean, it just goes down the list. Microchip could be used to verify. It's just all over the place. Now, look at this one right here. The human body is the next big platform. We are updating our bodies with technology on a large scale already with wearables, but all the wearables we wear today will be implantable in our bodies in 5 to 10 years. You see that? And this is one of the tech experts in Sweden. This information's everywhere. That's the guy right there. Again, not your Alabama, Texas conservative, right? Said, look at this. Augmented tech can change the way we live, but only with the right support and vision. Oh, boy. I mean, here it comes. You can just go down World Economic Forum. This is a whole page on the World Economic Forum website promoting implants, brain implants, control implants. I mean, there it is. World Economic Forum. Nobody says there. Augmented reality doesn't end there. Your phone might feel like a part of your body, but it's not put in through surgery. Technology will become more intertwined with the body in the form of implants. But But it will also seamlessly integrate with the environment. You might have sensors in a chair, for example. So it just keeps on going. Now, and they talk about Neuralink here. Now, folks, this is reality. This is what they are pushing on us. Human brain implants. Now, I'm just going to show you. I already spoke about this, but I'm going to show you the slides. There it is. And that's the company there. That's the article talking about here. Look, it says, biotech firm beats Elon Musk. Neuralink has implanted brain chips in 50 people for ailments since 2004. Been way ahead of Elon Musk. Now, he might make a better one, but we'll see. So there's their site, Neuro Devices, BlackRock Neurotech. Look it up for yourself. You can pull it up right now. Look at this. Specific applications for the brain. Notice it says anxiety, paralysis, blindness, depression, chronic pain, traumatic brain injury, hearing loss, Parkinson's, epilepsy, stroke. They're talking about, and you'll see, they put these things in different parts of the body. Neural interfaces. There you go, right there. Now, here's something I found, and I've got to bring this in for a landing here so we can go to dinner. But here's the chip. They show you the chip. One of the chips that they put in people's brains right here. Look at this. It's got written on it, BlackRock Tech, but I'll show you what it is right there. Do you see that little symbol there? It's a ram and the ram's horn. You know where that's also prominent? In the occult world. There you go. They could put any kind of symbol on that little chip they want to. But here we got this. There it talks about integration with the bodies. There it is. Miniaturization processes. The most advanced BCIs system in humans, BlackRock. Brain-connected interfaces. You see that? BCI today. I'm just scrolling through just so you guys can look all this up yourself. Our BCI tomorrow. Here they're talking about people that were able to move again, talk again after strokes. Again, you say, well, that's wonderful. Yes, it is. I say good for them. But the day's coming that an all-powerful world government and a world leader is going to mandate you either have one in your head or you have one in your hand. And I think this, as I was going through this, I thought, you know, I bet the Antichrist, you know, we know from the Bible the Antichrist will be a man that Jesus will kill when he comes back. He will die from the brightness of Jesus coming. He and the false prophet will be killed and they will be put in the lake of fire. He is a man. He's called the He. He's called the man of sin, son of perdition. He's a person. I believe he's going to have the brain chips in there already so that he can appear to be superhuman without even having to have the devil help him. Remember that movie Limitless? I only saw clips of it. But he had to take a pill to unlock the possibilities of his brain. But I believe that movie was an allegory, really, about the chip in the brain, the abilities that it's going to give people to be, just have access to all the knowledge in the world in your own brain in a moment of time. Think about that for a second. That's not pulling out your phone to do a search. Can you imagine a world leader who would have that ability and we don't? Can you imagine him in a debate? It'd be pretty destructive. Be pretty awe-inspiring. People would start going, ooh, look at him, he's so smart. It's all over the place, folks. There it is. You got these top doctors in the world advocating for these brain implants. You can look them up. New York Times, brain implants allow paralyzed man to walk using his thoughts. That's a sign and a wonder, isn't it? Goes on down. There's just so much. I'm gonna end it here. But you notice, I've gone through every bit of this. Utah scientists believe they can implant chip that would allow a paralyzed person to drive a car using only his or her mind. That is an article from 2017. Where are we now? Oh, here's the brain implant. There's mesh that they're going to put in the brain. This all describes it here. I'll let that be up for a second. But you guys see what's going on? The technology is here. for you to have something implanted in your hand or in your forehead that they will be able to have access to via the internet, via different reading devices, like with an RFID chip and an RFID reader. This is coming. You have to make up your mind. And see, this is where it all comes down to, folks. Do you believe the Bible, the Word of God, above what the world is going to pressure you to do? To conform. To submit. See, I've already made up my mind. Kids and children, listen, if their parents do that to them and it's forced upon them, that's a different thing. It has to be a willful choice. Children that are under the age of accountability, and that differs for each child. But children under the age of accountability go to heaven, period, no matter what happens. That's a long theological thing to go through, but just know that that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 7, and David, when his child died that he had with Bathsheba through the affair. Children are in a state of innocence. They're not accountable for their sins until they reach a certain age. And each child's going to be a little bit different in maturity levels and understanding levels. So only God knows when they reach that level. I can't say it's 11 or 12 or 13. I don't know. But children go to heaven. You don't have to listen. That's another thing. This goes down in the world. You know, we're at the brink of nuclear war with Russia because we have maniacs who are pedophile, Satanist maniacs running our government, and they're provoking the bear, and the bear's only going to take so many pokes. Now, I don't blame Putin if he attacks us because we have violated our agreements with him to not expand NATO, and we did. We put weapons and missiles on his border. We put biological labs, weapons labs on his border. If I was president of Russia and the United States was doing that to me, I would not be happy either. And they've used the Ukraine to do it. All this support Ukraine nonsense. Y'all have no idea what's really going on in the world if you got a Ukraine flag hanging somewhere. It's sad for the people because the leaders are corrupt and don't care. But this is all about to provoke the bear. Months ago, many months ago, before Russia invaded Ukraine, I said the next thing that's going to happen is Russia's going to be involved in a war. I didn't know where. How'd I know that? Because the Bible said that the Red Horse communism, the former Soviet Union's communism, that they are going to take peace from the earth. They have a great sword. The day's coming, mark my words, you're going to see a mushroom cloud in the United States of America. My hopes is that this is the day that Americans, especially Christians in America, who have become lukewarm and living in sin and rebellion and worldliness, and that they'll finally fall on their knees and get right with God. Amen. Not everybody who names the name of Christ is going to make it, y'all. So it's vitally important that you make sure you're walking in a real relationship with Jesus. And you're ready not only to die for him, but you're ready to live a holy, obedient, spirit-filled life for him in the midst of all of these things that are about to happen. You got to have a made-up mind. And folks, I have a made-up mind. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's praise God. Let's pray and go to dinner. Father, thank you so much again for your word, for your truth. Lord, we ask you to bless and touch and move through Pastor Greg tonight. We pray your kingdom come in this place for deliverance, God, for healing, for miracles, for your people, Lord, that need you. I pray for you to move in a mighty way. And also, Lord, help them prepare every way they can, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, prepare the best they can for what's coming upon the earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.